Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, I was serving a church in Florida in an area where there was a brand new development going in. And down in Florida, there was so much growth that you could literally have 100 homes go into a neighborhood in about a year's time. I had gone out and been doing some canvassing on behalf of our congregation and trying to get some people to come and visit our church, and was having a great difficulty getting people to do that in this one particular subdivision. That the property owners association of that subdivision chose to have and asked if they could use our sanctuary as a meeting place for one of their upcoming meetings, because there really was no other large public building around. And so our church council reluctantly gave approval for that. I happened to go over to that meeting during the meeting just to kind of hear and observe. And here were all these people, none of whom belonged to our church, but sitting in our sanctuary. And up at the front, right up near the chancel, was a lawyer from the association trying to explain to these homeowners, these property owners, why they felt it was necessary to now build a new apartment building in their new subdivision. And the property owners were getting very upset about this. They thought it was going to devalue their own homes. And it got pretty heated, and they started yelling. There were some, I would say, came close to screaming. And some began taking the Lord's name in vain, even as they yelled at this man in our sanctuary. Needless to say, that was the last time that group met in there. But I thought to myself, how sad. Here this room, this sanctuary exists to try and bring people and deliver to people the wonderful heavenly treasures that our Lord Jesus has come to win for us. None of them seem to care about that. But boy, could they get worked up about their property. Could they get worked up about their possessions? Don't you try to take that away from me. All of us struggle with grasping onto and viciously holding on to certain things that sometimes may not be the right things, and the things that our Lord would hold on to so firmly. In the text before us, Jesus, in this context, has been asked a question regarding inheritance. And he turns to those listening and gives this little warning. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And he then provides us with this beautiful, masterful story, this wonderful parable that even a little child in Sunday school can understand, and yet is so deep in insight and has such eternal, lasting knowledge connected to it. And he has us think about the ridiculous things that our hearts and lives can attach to, and the possessions we can get in this world, and the things that we can chase that ultimately are meaningless. And he has us envision this man, this young man who dies, who's had this great business starting to flourish. He has us envision him standing before God on Judgment Day, trying to explain to God, if you will, why his heart had been taken away. And we can just envision this man saying, "Yeah, I know, Lord, but you should have seen my business. My barns were awesome. And things were going really well for me. God, you should have been there to see that. I think you'd understand. I think you'd understand why I threw away your word and the hope of salvation. I think you'd get it if you realized what I really had. As one commentator said, how difficult it is to have abundance. But it doesn't necessarily take abundance and wealth. Martin Luther said, you can even hold a penny up to your eye and block out your view of heaven. It doesn't take much, does it, for us to set aside heavenly things. On Judgment Day, this is a very personal issue for each one of us. On Judgment Day, what might be the most likely item or pursuit or goal from your life that you could try to use an excuse for having set aside the gospel? That's a different answer in each one of our hearts and minds. It doesn't have to be money. It can be honor. It can even be education. It can be a whole lot of different things. Jesus lets us in on the self-talk going on inside of this man's heart, the internal discussion, if you will. And he has us see that it's devoid of any spiritual content. And I believe for us as believers in Christ who've been blessed to know him as our Savior and the wonderful hope of heaven that we have, we still wrestle at times with this internal self-talk in three dangerous categories that I would like to have us think about. Number one, these are the types of self-talk comments I can make to my own heart that are dangerous when it comes to the things of this world. I will pursue heaven, but I'm also going to have other goals on that same path. I will set aside heavenly treasure for a while, and I'll keep it. It's certainly important, but I'm going to set it aside for a while right now on my list of priorities so that I can go after other things. But I'm coming back to it. Don't get me wrong. I'm coming back to it. Another one is this. I will put on a facade outwardly among fellow Christians of being concerned about heaven, but inwardly I plan to really be focusing on other things. The great challenge of living a life of faith in this world is that even though we possess the greatest treasure that there could ever be, the only treasure that was worth our Lord spilling his innocent blood over, even though we do possess that, we don't get to see it. It's not tangible to us in this life. And we have to put up with the ridicule and the mocking of the world for what we're chasing and pursuing. And we even have to continually have little debates going on inside of our hearts and minds over whether or not this is really all worth it. So how can we be rich toward God, as our Lord here instructs us? How can I make the wealth and treasure of heaven continually my one goal and pursuit in life? Well, it happens through the word and sacraments, through a prayerful life of devotion, and also by continually being reminded by our Lord through his word of what happens to this world, keeping, if you will, a judgment day perspective of everything. Jesus says about this man in his situation, then whose will those things be which you have provided? As the Lord responds to this man. Think of all the stuff you can acquire in this life that you can hand down to your kids someday, and maybe they hand it down to their kids, but you really don't possess it anymore. Even our court system recognizes that a dead corpse doesn't possess anything. The book of Ecclesiastes says it this way. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. In the same way that our Lord Jesus sped away from the crowd that wanted to take him and make him an earthly king, let us follow our Lord Jesus away from the crowd of this world's thinking, because he has much more heavenly purposes in mind for us. And let us attach ourselves to him by faith and firmly possess him through word and sacrament. And help us, may God help us always, to retain our hold on him so that we retain our hold on the very place he ascended to. And then also may we keep a proper perspective on how to use the wealth and blessings and gifts that God chooses to sprinkle down on us in our earthly lives. St. Ambrose in the early church had a beautiful way of saying this, using this text as a backdrop. He says, "You have barns as a child of God possessing heaven." He says, "You have barns, the bosoms of the needy, the houses of the widows, and the mouths of orphans and infants." May God continue to bless all of us with a judgment day perspective on anything we chase or pursue in this life. And in so doing, through faith in Christ, we will continue to sing, "Thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure." Amen.